This morning we are going to go into a passage that is probably one of the most familiar Bible stories that we've all heard all of our life. And as I was going over this last week, I thought, I've been preaching full time for over 3 years and I've not preached on this verse or this story. And I thought, you know, everybody knows it, you know, so it's one of those things that you just don't focus on. But this past week, as I was reading over and studying it, God showed me what I needed for this day. And so my prayer is that we would all receive that same thing. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 6. I will start in 10 and go through 24. But just kind of a little bit of a background. Daniel had already at this point, he had interpreted dreams. He had done a lot of things for King Darius, and King Darius knew of him, and he had put him in charge of a lot of the people. And what had happened is some of the other officials began to get jealous, and so they were going to try to find a way to trip Daniel up, and so that the king would be able to do something to him. And so Daniel, who was this kid that they had brought over with the captives, and they wanted to get rid of him. And so they secretly had the king to write up a decree to say, if anybody bows to anybody, any god but you for the next 30 days, let them be thrown into the lion's den. And so that was written up, and the king put his signet on it, and the officials. And so according to the Medes and the Persians who were in rule, once a king had made up a decree like that, you could not change it. Even the king himself could not change it. And so that's what's just taken place. And so they wanted to see if they could trick Daniel, and they knew they could. And so let's read, starting in verse 10. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his window open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, this thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. And so they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself. And he set out, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of the Lord's, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent an angel and shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done nothing wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them and their children, their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we open your word and we pray you open our hearts. Lord, speak to us today. Don't let us walk out of this place the same. Lord, may we understand what it is you have for each of us. Lord, don't let me get in the way. Anoint your word. May it come alive today and serve every purpose you set it out to do. Lord God, we praise you and we thank you. In your name, amen. Like I said, this is one of the most popular passages, that parents tell kids, or kids get in vacation Bible school or Sunday school, and so we've heard it all of our lives. But today I want to look at something a little bit different. It's not so much the lions as it is, and maybe not even so much completely the deliverance, but I want to look at Daniel's faith, I want to look at Daniel's service, and I want to look at Daniel's testimony. And yeah, they're all three going to get pointed by the time the sermon's over, just letting you know ahead of time. But as we look at this passage, first I want to look at Daniel's faith. There was something that really jumped out to me as I was studying this week. Everybody knew of Daniel's faith. The king knew. The officials knew. The governors, the satraps, all those official people that tried to trap him, they all knew Daniel had a personal faith with his God. Daniel's faith was public. Everybody knew about it. They knew he was going to pray to his God. They knew that they couldn't find anything wrong in what he did. He was such a good man, and everything he did for the king was proper. But they knew he was so faithful to his God that they could get him to trip up if they could make that decree. It was so public that his friends knew about it. King Darius would have been considered a friend, and he knew about Daniel's faith. Everybody, it seemed, knew about Daniel's faith. It was public. Does everybody know about your faith? Do all your friends know about your faith? Oh, yeah, of course your friends do. Do your enemies? Well, what? Why should I worry about whether my enemies know my faith? Because your faith may turn your enemies into your friends. But his faith was public. But before it ever went public, it was private. Look at this. I love this phrase. It says, and it's in verse 10, towards the end of verse 10, it says, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Man, he had a personal faith long before he was ever put in this position. Long before the lion's den, he had a personal faith. Long before that decree was written, he had a personal faith. He had a personal faith before he was even brought into captivity. His personal faith was what would change everything. We have to have a public faith. Because if I keep it to myself, if I keep my faith in my closet, or I keep my faith in this building, then it's really not public. Not saying you guys aren't public, but you know what I mean. We have to be able to reach our community. Our faith has to be public, like Daniel's was. But it will never reach the public until it's in the private. Until it's my personal faith that I do at home when nobody's watching. It says Daniel would pray three times a day. They had a custom that they would open the windows and they would pray towards Jerusalem. They would pray towards the temple. And he was accustomed to that. He didn't open the windows so everybody would see him. That was just his custom. That was his home. That was his prayer time. That was where his personal relationship started. His personal relationship didn't start out in the public. I think sometimes we as Christians get it backwards. We want our private relationship with Jesus to start here. And it may start here. You may accept Christ here. You may turn your life over to Him. You may surrender your life to Christ in this building or a building like this. But this is not where your private faith begins. You have to have that at home. You have to be willing to want to spend time with God, to get up that extra time in the morning or stay up that extra time at night, or set out that time during the middle of the day to where you and your God communicate. And that may be a strange thought for some of us, because we know our relationship has to do with reading the Bible and praying and singing songs and praising God and honoring Him and thanking Him. Yes, but it's a personal relationship. It's everything in our life. The personal relationship will spread out into the public relationship. Had Daniel not had a private relationship with God, they would have never tricked him, because he'd have never shown in public. They would have never known about it. And they didn't know about it because they looked through the window. They knew because every decision Daniel made, the interpretations of the dream that he made, the choices he made not to defile himself with the king's food, all of these things were based on that private, personal relationship with God. And when you and I have the right relationship with God, that relationship will leak out into the public. And it will change people. Not always for the best. We know that his personal relationship that went public to his enemies. If you and I have the relationship we're supposed to have with Jesus, it's going to go public to your enemies, and they're not going to like it. Because the cross is offensive to those who don't believe. Because it's telling them they are broken, they are dying and going to hell, and they're going that way unless they find Jesus Christ. And the only way to find Him is through the cross. That's the only way to heaven. And that is offensive to our world, to our lost world. And when I begin to let my private faith leak out into the public, they're not going to like that. Because it's telling them that they're wrong. But you know what? They are. So am I. I'm just as broken as they are, but I've accepted God's forgiveness. If they ever accept God's forgiveness, they're still going to be broken, but they're going to be saved. They're going to be forgiven. They're going to be changed to a child of God. I wonder, well, I don't think we would have ever heard of this story had Daniel's faith not went public. They wouldn't have known how to trip him. His friends, King Darius, when your faith goes public, you're going to have friends that are going to see that faith. And they may not have that faith. They may not understand why you believe what you believe. But they're going to see it. And they're going to see it in your life. Daniel's faith and our faith need to be the same. It needs to be personal and public. Next, I want to look at Daniel's service. Now, it doesn't say a whole lot about Daniel's service, but I think there must have been a lot of it. Because the king, his friend, tells us up in verse 16, he says, the king gave the command to bring Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But he spoke to Daniel saying, your God whom you serve continually. Man, he served continually. It tells us again down here when he asked, when Darius asked, he said, Daniel, servant of the living God. Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you? Man, people saw him serving continually. So it makes me stop and think, and I thought about this and I wrote it down, a big question for myself, and it was one of those questions that I wonder if people see me serve continually. Now, you see me serve up here on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, but do people see us serve continually? And I stopped there for just a little bit because I got caught up on the continually because, like I said, King Darius mentioned twice that Daniel had served continually. It wasn't once a week. It wasn't just when things worked out good. He's thrown in the lion's den and he's still serving. So no matter what the situation, he's serving God continually. And I wonder if our friends see us serve continually. And then I got to thinking it goes beyond that. Because he says, has your God, whom you serve continually, serving God? Sometimes I can get caught up, and I'm sure you can too, on, well, part of my ministry, part of serving God is serving other people. And yes, that's true. But I can look at people and I can serve people and that is a part of it. But am I serving God continually? Because there's times I can go out and do things just to make myself feel better. I can go out and help people because I know they need help. I can go out and do things because that's the right thing to do. And people are going to say, oh, look at him. He's helping people. He's such a good Christian guy. If I'm doing it so people will see or just to help people, that's not it. I should be serving my God continually. Do we serve God continually? Or do we just serve him when we want things? Do we just serve him occasionally? Daniel, according to Darius, served continually, served God continually in all circumstances, whether it's good, whether it was when he was a governor, whether it was he was in charge of people, even to the point of when he was thrown into the lion's den, he was still serving his God. That's when it gets rough. When they come to you and they say, you need to choose, are you going to serve your God or are you going to go against the world? Oh, well, in here, that's easy for us to say. Well, of course I'm going to serve my God. But when we get out there, it doesn't seem quite as easy. It doesn't seem so cut and dry. Because we see people all the time, we know, and we are probably those people that do it. I'm guilty, you're guilty, that we serve when it's easy. Not when we know the outcome is going to be the lion's den. Daniel's faith and Daniel's service leads us to Daniel's testimony. Like I said, this is a story we've heard all of our lives. But I love this. Where the king asks and he says, has your God been able to deliver you? And Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. That was a term of respect that you would answer when you started speaking to a king. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, so they have not hurt me. Now, I'm sure that if each of us, if we had been put in a spot where we had been given a choice of either serving God or being thrown in the lion's den, and we were thrown in the lion's den and the lion's mouth was closed, and we come out, we would be really quick to say, my God, shut the lion's mouth. Man, Daniel spoke quickly. He gave praise to God immediately for what God had done. He closed the lion's mouth so that they didn't hurt me. King, I'm down here because he sent his angel. Probably the same one that was in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But he spoke out and he said, "This is what my God has done." Man, what a testimony. I'm wondering if those officials were standing there, and they probably were. And they're hearing about this saving faith in this God that was able to close the lion's mouth. And then you've got his friend sitting there and asking, "Are you okay?" And he says, "Yeah, this is what my God done." That statement right there, maybe not the best proper English, but "this is what my God has done." How long has it been since you said that? Ouch. How long has it been since we gave a testimony for our God that He has done something that you know is only God ordained? How long has it been since you said that in front of somebody that didn't want to hear it? Here he is, the man that threw him in the lion's den because he was praying to God. The guys that had tried to trap him or did trap him and have him thrown into the lion's den, they sure didn't want to hear about saving God. But you know what? He didn't care. Do we give the testimony that is due our God? "Well, I haven't had anything big like a lion's den. But have you had anything that God done in your life? Has God done anything in our lives?" Because we go a long time between testifying. We go a long time between testifying for our God. And if it was that long between what He did for us to the next time He did something for us, we'd be in trouble. Why don't we testify? We have so much to share. And those people out there that don't understand the saving God, those people out there that aren't really sure about if God saves or not, they're the ones that need to hear it. Daniel's faith, personal and public. Daniel's service to God and continual. Daniel's testimony to glorify God and spoken out before others. Well, there's enough right there that we need to be feeling something right about now. But I want to look at this just a little further because Daniel had a saving faith in a saving God. Can I get really pointed? I'm not pointing at anybody anymore, and I'm pointing at myself. But do you believe in a saving faith in a saving God? You have to answer that yourself. I can't answer it for you. I know there are probably people listening online or maybe even here in this sanctuary that do not understand what it means to have a saving faith in a saving God. These officials, they knew Daniel went every day and prayed, but they did not believe that Daniel's God could save. And if he wants to believe in Him, good luck. If Daniel wants to believe in that God and pray to that God, it's just going to get him in trouble. They did not believe that Daniel's God had a saving power in Him. There are people you and I face every single day that do not believe our God has a saving power. You know what? In this story, it doesn't tell us how many, but it says those people that did not believe God had a saving power, it didn't work out well for them in the end. They were the ones that died without God. If you don't believe in a saving power of God, then your outcome is not going to be very good. Don't take a chance and die without God. That's what they did, and it didn't work out very well. Because those people that are like the officials, they don't believe that God saves. Or maybe they don't believe they need a saving God. Or maybe they're thinking they would say, "You know, we'll see how this turns out, and maybe later." Man, that's where a lot of people are today. And then there are those like the king, King Darius, good friend of Daniel, saw him consistently. He says to him before he's thrown into the lion's den, he says, Daniel, the God that you serve continually, he'll deliver you. But then he spent this worrisome night. And the next day, he comes to the lion's den and he says, Daniel, did your God deliver you? He wasn't sure. He wanted him to, but he wasn't sure that he would. There are so many people that want to believe in God. They want to understand that saving faith. They've seen it in other people. But when it comes right down to it, Daniel, was your God able to save you? Because I don't know personally that saving God. That's where King Darius was at. And there are a lot of people today that are in that same area of life. They want God. They want to believe in God's saving power. But it's never became personal. They've never come to experience God's saving grace because they've never surrendered their life to Him. They've never accepted what He did for them on the cross. Man, they don't know where they're at. They've got the want to, but the I don't understand. And that bangs together and it's so tough. And that's where they are. May not end up very well, or it may end up working out. Depends on where they go with that faith. Are they going to believe in that God? And then there's that Daniel. He had experienced the power of God. He knew that his God could save him. Hey, you go ahead and throw me in that den of lions. Because I've experienced the power of my God. And I know He can save me. If He chooses not to, that's fine. But I know He can. I've experienced His power. I've experienced the power of a saving God. I know it's real. He knew that saving power. So no matter what came, as bad as the situation could get, He knew what was coming. He knew that when they got ready to put him in that lit den of lions, that he could trust his God because of past experiences. Do you trust God? Or do you just want to? Not only did he trust God, but when they pulled him out, he testified, like I said earlier. Man. Look at the difference from the officials that don't believe in a saving God and Daniel who does believe in a saving God. That's where we need to be. That's what we need to understand. That there has to be something that makes that difference. Why are the officials over here and why is Daniel over here? Because it's a personal relationship with God. One didn't have it. And one did. One had never experienced a saving faith, knew nothing about it, no desire for it. The other had experienced it, trusted it, told about it, was going to stand on it. That's the two extremes. Question is, where are we? I hope we're not in the middle. I hope we're not in the middle with Darius just wanting everything to work out, but not knowing that it will. I want you, when you leave this place today, to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you know about the saving grace of God. You know about the saving power of God. You know about the love of Jesus Christ. You know what God has done for you. Because when you get to that point, that's where that personal relationship about the power of God becomes real. One last thing I want to say here as we look at this. And this is maybe just a tag on, but I think it's something that maybe will open somebody's eyes. Darius, after this, go ahead and read this other part. In the next few verses, Darius began to write another decree. Starts in verse 25, and Darius wrote, "To all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. His dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues and works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." Darius, we don't know for a fact by Scripture that Darius accepted the faith in God. But we do know from this passage that Darius saw Daniel and knew all of this about his God. Nobody has ever wrote a decree like that about me, and probably about you either. Meaning, when I look at that person, I see that their God is alive. I see that their God has a kingdom that's unshakable. I see that their God has a reign, is going to reign forever. And He rescues and He delivers and He saves and He does miracles in heaven and on earth. Because I see it in their life. Nobody's ever wrote that about me. What do they see in us? Do they see enough of our faith, our service, and hear our testimony to where they realize, like he says, the God of Daniel? Men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Man, that would have been such a great time to say, the God of Daniel in whom I believe. But he didn't say that. At least he saw that Daniel's God was real in the life of Daniel. How many people see the fact that God is alive in my life, in your life? That's where we're at. So I want to ask you these questions, or actually kind of pray this over us. May our faith be personal and public. May our service be continually to our God. And may our testimony be heard clearly by those around us. Let's pray. Father, I just come before you and I thank you for all that you do. Lord, we need you. Lord, we can't even live for you the way we're supposed to without your power. So we pray for your saving grace, your strength, your understanding, all that you set before us, that you would equip us to be what you called us to do. Lord, if there be anyone in this place that does not know you, I pray that they would understand the saving power of you. Lord, those of us, we need you. We need to be real. Show us. Encourage us. Convict us. Draw us to be what you call us to be. In your name we pray. Amen.